Yeah, amen, amen. Wow. So good to be here this morning. Anybody else blessed? This is a powerful place. I love this is a place of word and spirit. I'm Steve Backlund. I'm on staff at Bethel Church in Redding, California. And this is my fourth trip to South Africa, kind of like you guys. I like you, and it's such an honor to be back at Oasis. Matt and Donnie are a couple of my heroes and part of the Bethel Leaders Network, and just so thrilled to be here, just proud of you guys and your leadership and what God's doing in you, and just so thankful for the team that's here as well. How many of you know, it's difficult to know how big what you're a part of is while you're a part of it. I mean, the disciples were part of a pretty big move called Jesus. I mean, I think that was a big move to be a part of. Yeah, and you know, they keeping the wonder of what God's doing. I mean, they lost wonder. Yeah, I'm the greatest. No, you're just a mama's boy. And so, yeah, thanks, Father. And why don't you just repeat this after me? Say, God brought me here this morning because he believes in me more than I believe in myself. He is preparing me for something bigger than I know. Something's happening in me this morning. It's supernatural. It's going to increase. And it's going to influence the nations. Amen. Talitha, won't you stand up? You already saw Talitha. She released a word. She's part of my ministry team. Well, yeah, why don't you come on up? Yeah, just she's got a couple things that she wants to share. She's a third-year student, Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. And she's part of my team. I've got four team members. And so she's here. And she already released a great word about doing something. About giving God something to work with. What else do you have?
Yeah. Well, powerful. So I was praying over you guys as a church. And I heard Proverbs 28:1, and it says, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as lions. And that's you guys. You guys are the righteous. And I heard that courage is rising. God is breaking this morning passivity, timidity, and fear. And God is putting Oasis Church on the map in a greater way this morning. God's doing a real work in you as individuals and as a church body. And I heard this over Oasis. This is who you guys are. You are overcoming. You are anointed. You are steadfast. You are immovable. And you are strong. Yeah, so I bless you guys. I also heard there's breakthrough this morning in people's minds and emotions. So if that's you, I just want you to take that by faith. And also for those who have had trouble sleeping, there's like an extra breakthrough for you this morning, not just with sleeping, but I just in that area of your mind and your thinking, there's just powerful breakthrough for you. And also the lady just in the front, in the floral. Yes. Could you stand? I had a word for you. What was your name? Lindy. Lindy, this is what I heard over you, that you have a teaching gift on your life. And I heard that it comes really naturally for you, and you're going to be surprised at how God uses you. I saw you in the Word and God actually illuminating the Word and bringing such revelation in it in a new and fresh way. You have a gift of communication on your life. You're a people person and someone who people really naturally are drawn to and connect with. And I heard the Lord say that there's doing family life is just as significant as being on a stage with a microphone. So I bless you. Yeah. Bless you guys. Thanks for having us.
Talitha's from Australia. Yes. Thank you for that. By the way, Matt and Donnie, I hear this over you. You are leaders of leaders. I'm hearing God's going to speak through Genesis chapter 12 through 18 again. And I'm also saw a big puzzle. And there's a couple puzzle pieces that have been missing that are coming into your hand right now to put into the puzzle that's going to complete some things. And your influence is growing. The influence of this church is growing. You're significant in what God's doing in South Africa, in this continent, and beyond. So bless you with that. Yes. I travel a lot. I travel about half the year. I'm a spiritual wine connoisseur. You know, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. I love every place I go to taste of His goodness. And you know, when I'm here, I just taste a lot of good things. I taste a great history with God. There's so many people in this room who have an incredible history with God. I taste integrity. I taste word and spirit. I taste innovative thinking. I taste value and love for family. I taste people who are like Peter, who are stepping out of the boat. That's what I taste. And I taste, yeah, just the ability to transfer great truth to the next generation. So, amen. My wife and I, we have a ministry called Igniting Hope Ministries, and we have an assignment to ignite hope. There's no hopeless circumstances. There's only people who do not have hope. And I believe after love, hope is the most powerful leadership quality there is. I believe our hope level determines our influence level. He who has the most hope has the most influence. God loves to partner with unreasonably optimistic people. God loves to partner with unreasonably optimistic people. Can you imagine David going after Goliath today? Hey, David, before you attack Goliath, we're just looking on our phones, and we want to let you know what the experts are saying. The experts are saying you're being unreasonably optimistic. They're saying you shouldn't have such high beliefs. And they're saying you should just go back to the fields with the sheep and make it your goal just to be able to pay your bills every month and call that success. Because what the experts are saying is you're actually going to get killed. Let's laugh at that. Hey, Ezekiel, before you prophesy to those dry bones, I want to let you know what the experts are saying. The experts are saying you must not know how dry they really are, or you wouldn't be so optimistic. They're suggesting you do a deeper study on the bone's dryness so that you'll become more realistic. Because what the experts are saying, when you speak to the bones, nothing's going to happen. Let's laugh at that as well. Ha ha. God hasn't called us to be realistic. He's called us to be supernatural. And something's happening to the Christians in South Africa. Something's happening. You know, there's been a season of battle, a season of disappointment, a season of here we go again. But God's doing something. He's raising the body of Christ out of pessimism, out of victim mindsets. And actually, there's something on the body of Christ in this hour that's rising up, that's going to rise up in a manner that's going to be astounding. It's going to be astounding. I have a team in Reading, and I always make sure, if at all possible, I can get people from South Africa on that team. I have four staff members that are connected to Igniting Hope Ministries, and two of them are from South Africa. Because the South Africans think in a way that's incredible. South Africans are overcomers. South Africans are people who've always find solutions. They find solutions to difficult situations. They're resilient. They may get knocked down in the ring by an uppercut and go back to their corner wobbly, but they come out again. They come out again. The South African people have a Rocky Balboa anointing. Rocky Balboa anointing. May take a few punches, may feel like throwing in a towel, but you don't. And I just say, thank you, Lord. I just say, thank you for just even this morning, with everybody within the sound of my voice, a fire getting into us, a fire of overcoming, a fire of purpose. You know, Esther said, if I perish, I perish. But she rose up in an hour that was so powerful, and she made such a difference. And this is the hour where we're alive right now. We're alive right now, and God believes we've got what it takes. Just say, I've got what it takes. I'm like one of your corner men right now, you know, boxer. Slap you around a little bit. Throw some water on you. You can do it. You can do it. Just say, I can do it. Just say, I've got what it takes. I'm an overcomer. There's nobody who can say it like me. Amen. Well, I want to just share, just kind of on top of that, just I want to talk today about something I've got a great passion for. It's how we hear. You know, the kingdom of God, the same way we get into the kingdom is the same way we advance in the kingdom. It's by hearing good news and believing it. That's his pattern. I used to have a dog many years ago. His name was Snoopy. And Snoopy was a yellow-white lab that some people called fat. We called him big-boned. And I'm exaggerating a little bit here, but Snoopy slept about 22 hours a day in our house. And we had to be careful about one thing with Snoopy. Snoopy's leash for walking was on the top shelf of our laundry room. And if we moved anything else on the top shelf of the laundry room, and the leash seemingly moved a millimeter, that was good news to Snoopy. I don't care if Snoopy was in 2-3 rooms away. Once Snoopy heard the leash move, Snoopy was like shot out of a cannon. Would often come into the laundry room with leaping. And who said white dogs can't jump? And Snoopy's frequently pulled future walks into his present experience. We had no intention of taking Snoopy for a walk. But when we saw Snoopy's belief in the goodness of his masters, my wife, we look at it, we've got to take that guy for a walk. And look at him. And Snoopy had incredible hearing. Now, there was all kinds of other noises that were going on. Refrigerator door opening, you know, a house door, people talking, cars going by, you know, just whatever. But Snoopy's ear, that didn't move Snoopy. But Snoopy always had his ear tuned. He had the belief that the leash was going to move. Snoopy had hope. Hope is the belief that it's the confident expectation that good is coming. He had his ear tuned for that. He hadn't grown dull of hearing. You know, I just love so many verses in the Bible that relate to hearing. You know, in Mark 4:24, Jesus said, "Take heed what you hear." To pay attention to what you hear. And he ties it, for the measure you use will be measured back to you. He ties future abundance with what we hear. And, you know, it's really important what we hear. Now, Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Do you know you can hear something and not hear it? He's saying, listen, if you got ears to hear, let your ears hear what you need to hear. There's a fascinating verse in 1 Timothy 5:19 where Paul's writing to Timothy and he says, "Receive not an accusation against an elder except in the mouth of two or three witnesses." He says, if you hear an accusation, don't hear it unless it's confirmed. Don't. So basically, there's things that our ears can hear that we don't hear, that we don't, actually we shouldn't hear. And one of the things, you know, like even hearing, you can hear the information of the news of what's going on and not hear the spirit that's trying to get on you with the news. We can hear facts, but we don't want to hear the negative spirit that's on that. Whether it's about the coronavirus, whether it's about things going on in your nation, whatever, there's information that you're going to hear that you don't want to hear. You don't want to receive. I can't receive certain things. You know, I can't receive gossip. If you want to go where you're going, you can't be a person who just automatically believes everything you hear. You can't do that. If you do that, you're going to do a lot of laps in the wilderness. I'm tired of doing laps in the wilderness. And so what I hear is really important. I mean, I'm very careful about what I hear and what do I allow into my ears and what I receive. There's just times where I'll say to myself, I don't receive that. There's some negative, pessimistic state. I may not say it out loud, but I'll say I'm not receiving that. There's other things I say, I receive that. I receive it. When we say I receive that, that's a powerful thing. You know, even words that were spoken, like what Talitha spoke, and we heard some other great prophetic words, just getting in the habit of saying I receive it. It actually creates, because with the measure we use, it'll be measured to us. There's another verse in Luke 8:18. It says, take heed how you hear. So take heed what you hear, take heed how you hear. Now, I mean, Snoopy, he had an incredible. By the way, I just released the Snoopy anointing on you. It's going to have you bark. It won't have you bark. It's a prophetic sign of receiving, but you just receive it. Take heed how you hear. And how we hear is really a fascinating thing. You know, where we're at Bethel Church in Reading, and a great, great move of God is happening there. I mean, we have over 2,500 students in our School of Supernatural Ministry, and I'm astounded at what God's done in just a small city that's influenced the world. By the way, God's no respecter of cities. There's no reason it can't happen in Howick. Matter of fact, I say it's happening. Just say it's happening. But we're taught this, that when we hear a testimony, get excited. Do something. Clap. Woohoo! Yes! Because what it is, it teaches us how we hear. How I hear. You know, let me just give you a quick testimony, and I want you guys to get excited about this. I have a friend, his name is Edson. He was in Miami. God's used him for healing. Someone comes up and says, hey, Edson, go pray for my friend who's in a coma. Edson says, I don't have enough time. But here's my shirt. He takes his shirt off, put my shirt on him. So the person puts the shirt on him. The moment the shirt goes on him, that the person in a coma twitches and then goes out of the coma. Yay. Wow. Yeah. It says in Revelation 19:10, the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. Every testimony we hear has a prophetic edge on it, that if we receive it, it's do it again. It's do it again. And so how we hear is just so incredible. That's why, you know, just learning even to say something, you know, while you're hearing something You know, I know, it's, you know, I'm a Scandinavian guy, you know, descent and frozen, chosen and all that, you know, and just, you know, we don't do emotion and let's just laugh at all that, by the way. Yeah. And learning how to actually engage in things, learning how to actually, you know, say something. You know, I just say, you know, just even moving forward and saying, that's a good word, or think, wow, yes, amen. You know, even those little things are part of developing incredible hearing and staying engaged in what's happening. Because our future depends on really what and how we hear. It says in Hebrews 5:11, the writer of Hebrews, he's going off on some about Melchizedek and some deep water things, and then he has to stop. He says, I can't go on because you've become dull of hearing. Yeah, someone just say boo. Just become, I can't go on, you become dull of hearing. That just sounds like a real bummer, to be dull of hearing. And I mean, and just sometimes, obviously it can happen. I mean, some Christians are sermon-proof Christians. They're sermon-proof. Their theme song is, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Yeah, I'm here, but I'm not hearing anything. You know, there's just nothing here. You know, just, but I'm here. I'm faithful Christian. I'm in the meeting. I'm a part of the remnant. There's others who aren't here, but I'm here. Yeah, I've been thinking about dullness of hearing. I've come up with 6 reasons that cause dullness of hearing. Why? Why? We can just not be moved anymore by God's word. Why we can't be moved anymore by testimony? Why we can just sit kind of blah. Let me give you these real fast. The first is pride. Pride causes dullness of hearing. I'm better, you know, I don't, you know. When we think we're superior to others, or we haven't even yielded to God yet because we're still in control of our own lives and we haven't humbled ourselves to that point, then we can't hear. We can't hear. Naaman in the Old Testament, he had leprosy. He's from another nation going to Elisha, and he tells him to just dip in the River Jordan. He said, what's this river? You know, that's a... He almost missed his opportunity because of pride and not humbling himself to actually believe that the answer was from a place that he thought was inferior to him. My first pastor, Fred, said, Steve, you need to learn from everybody. You need to be teachable. You need to learn from a 5-year-old. You always need to be teachable. The second thing is disappointment. Disappointment makes us dull of hearing. In Luke 24, the disciples, they heard about the words Jesus rose from the dead, but it sounded to them like idle tales. So they could not hear what had happened because of disappointment. And disappointment is, just all of us deal with disappointment. One of the giants that every overcomer in the new covenant has to defeat is the giant of disappointment. Because we all face it to some level. And even in this meeting, the Holy Spirit is helping people get healed up from disappointment. The anointing heals the brokenhearted. The anointing heals the one. And all of us have a brokenness in our heart at some level from being disappointed in ourselves, disappointed in people, being disappointed in God, being disappointed in what happened. All of us have that. But the Lord, you South Africans have a grace on you to overcome disappointment, and you have anointing to heal others from disappointment. The third is inferiority. Inferiority causes us to be dull of hearing, to where we think that we're less than, where we think the great words, we disqualify ourselves. And man, I'll tell you this morning, I think the Lord kind of dealt a blow to disqualification. Anybody else feel that? Woo! But we don't think we're qualified. The accuser of the brethren says, it'll work for others, but it won't work for you. We laugh at that as well. The fourth is traditions of men. In Mark 7:13, Jesus said, your traditions have made the word of God of no effect. Many doctrines, any doctrine that doesn't create hope for a victorious future, I believe is rooted in the traditions of men. And so many, you know, there's so many doctrines out there that create passivity and fatalism. One of the main doctrines is just an overemphasis on the sovereignty of God and that everything that happens is God's will. Not everything that happens is God's will. That's a beginning point of breakthrough. It's God's will that every person be saved. But people have to actually come in agreement with what he's offered for us to participate in that. The fifth is familiarity. Familiarity creates dullness of hearing. You know, one thing I like about being a traveling speaker, you know, because when you're a traveling speaker, people tend to, because they don't know you very well, they tend to receive even better from a traveling speaker than their local leader. Let's just laugh at that. Ha ha. Ha ha. Ha ha. I was a senior leader for 17 years, and, you know, I remember sometimes the speaker would be there, and they'd say the exact same thing I said. Ha ha. Ha ha. The exact same thing. And people come out, wow, did you hear that? Man, I'm so good. And, you know, there's a place for guest speakers. There really is, because guest speakers can just bring something that just kind of bring a breakthrough, you know, say it in a fresh way, a fresh voice. But what happens, I mean, even in Jesus, he went to his hometown and the people did not receive. Aren't his brothers and sisters here? Their familiarity with Jesus, I mean, Jesus blocked their ability. They were dull. They could not no longer receive. And what happens is that when we become familiar to voices, that's why stirring up, you know, one of the things that, you know, honor is one of the most powerful spiritual laws there is. It says in Ephesians 6, children, it says, honor your parents. How many of you know children are pretty familiar with their parents? Their parents' voice. It says, honor your parents, for it's the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Woo! There's something about honoring the familiar voices that are in your life, your pastors, your leaders, your family members. And when you actually learn to say, I'm not going to grow dull, but I'm actually going to stay in a place of incredible hearing, something powerful happens. Someone say amen to that. And then lastly, it's just weariness. I mean, weariness, you just get tired. You just got, you know, I've got a dog at home, right? Another dog at home. His name's Duncan. He's a black lab. And, I mean, there's times where Duncan, he's just, you know, he's had one of his dog friends over, and, you know, they're out there messing around, running around, and he gets so tired that, you know, he usually gets excited when I come. There's times he's so tired, I'll come in the door, he doesn't even hear me. He's over there snoring. Doesn't even know there's a great opportunity of his master home to love on him. And something, I understand that, you know, just getting tiredness creates a place where we don't hear. But God, he's got the answer for that. He renews our youth like the eagles. And so those are reasons why we get dull of hearing. And when we look at the importance of hearing. Hebrews 4:2, it says this, speaking of the people in the Old Testament, that the gospel was preached to them, but it did not profit them because they did not mix faith with what was heard. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit has been teaching me lately, he's been saying, Steve, your future is so tied to how you hear. In Galatians 3, Paul rebuked the Galatians. He said, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Having begun in the spirit, are you going to be now made perfect in the flesh? And it's interesting what he calls flesh. And he goes on to say, this one thing I want to know from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? Someone say, boo. Or by the hearing of faith? Yay. He calls becoming perfect in the flesh when we're focused more on what we're doing than on the hearing of faith. That we've actually disengaged ourselves from grace when we're focused more on our behaviors than on how we hear. I read that, I go, woo. Okay, so the same way we get into the kingdom is the same way we advance in the kingdom. Now, let me just wrap this up by talking about prophecy and how it's linked. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, follow after love, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, and especially that you may what? Prophesy. He said, go after every gift. 1 Corinthians 12 lists 9 miracles, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of healing, tongues, interpretation, gift of faith, etc. He says, go after them. Not so we can be spiritual, but so we can become somebody else's miracle. But go after one the most. Prophecy. Burn with zeal to prophesy. And you know, New Covenant prophecy is different than Old Covenant prophecy. The simple gift of New Covenant prophetic ministry is encouraging. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says we prophesy to comfort, edify, and build up. The office of a prophet may rebuke, correct, but the simple gift of prophecy is encouraging. People tell me, they say, hey, Steve, how can I start prophesying? I tell them this, become the most encouraging person you know and ask Holy Spirit to take over your encouragement. Become the most encouraging person you know. You know, in my bio, I redid my bio a year or so ago, and the first thing I have in my bio is Steve Backlund is an encourager, hope igniter, joy catalyst, leader developer. But the first thing, I'd rather be known as an encourager than an intergalactic apostle. You know why? Because people have to hear something. People have to hear something higher than what they're experiencing. And that's what prophetic ministry is. Prophetic ministry tells us who we really are. Prophetic ministry tells us where we're going. Prophetic ministry tells us what we can do. And it's in that people actually, they attach their faith to what they hear. I grew up, I didn't know Jesus till I was 19. I had very little encouragement as a child or teenager. I could almost count on one hand how many significant words actually somebody spoke to me that was higher than what I was experiencing. I was attaching my faith to my friends' comments that, you know, I was this, I wasn't that, I wasn't physically attractive enough, I wasn't smart enough, I was all this. You know, all that's all I was hearing, all I was receiving was that. Then I had a government teacher when I was a senior in high school. she looked at me and she took me aside for a couple minutes and she said, "Steve, I see you'd be good in politics and government." I mean, it was like, I said, "Wow, somebody sees something good in me." I said, "Wow," you know, it was like, I didn't know there was anything good in me. I didn't even say it. And because of that brief comment, I majored in political science the next year in college. All because somebody saw something in me. Somebody spoke something and I received it. I received it. I heard something. And not only, you know, just what I'm hearing for you is that the Lord is breaking off any spiritual dullness off of us. He's breaking it off. He's breaking it off Oasis. He's breaking it off this city. He's breaking it off South Africa. He's breaking it off. And we're literally getting to a place where I see, wow, what you're going to allow yourself to receive and what you're going to allow yourself to hear in this next hour, it's changing. It's upgrading. I do podcasts. You know, I listen to Joel Osteen all the time. I have to listen to positive things. I cannot feed on the negativity that's in this world. I cannot feed on the news in this world. I take heed what I hear. And I you know what I'm hearing? Man, I'm just talking. I'm listening on the radio. I'm saying things. I'm receiving because I've only got one shot at this thing called life. We've got podcasts, Igniting Hope Ministries. We got over 100 podcasts, 10 to 15 minutes long. If you want something to encourage you, every week we release powerful things. You can't stay pessimistic by listening to us. You can't stay in a place where you think it's not going to happen by listening to us. And so the thing is I see the Lord releasing over you a grace to hear the Snoopy anointing. But I also see the Lord putting a whole new spirit of encouragement on you. You know, I travel all over the world, and there's sometimes I get to places, and people say, "We're tired. Ah, I'm so tired. Everybody's tired." You know, and the one question I have is, are you encouraging each other? And almost always, we'll find out the answer is no. And you know, I see the Lord just, this place has a lot of encouragement already. Man, I've been walking around, and you guys are like encouragement fire hoses. But I see the Lord taking you to another level of encouraging one another. And you know, the person I need to encourage the most is me, and the person I need to encourage the second is my wife, my family, my leadership team. And there's no such thing as a strong, silent type Christian. And when we have an atmosphere where we believe hearing's important, then we start speaking encouragement. I used to not want to encourage certain people because I thought if I encouraged them, they might think they're okay. So I withheld my encouragement as a punishment to them so they'd get their act together. Then after they got their act together, I would encourage them. It didn't work out well. Every person needs encouragement. And when we get this, and you guys are part of an encouragement army that's going to encourage other leaders like never before, it's already happening. I mean, just the event that Matt got going with so many leaders this past week, whoo, it was powerful. So I bless you today. I bless you in the name of Jesus with radical Snoopy anointing. That your ear is tuned to the prophetic word, to the possibility word, to what God, the promise of God. And I bless you with a new grace to encourage others, which will move you into a new level of prophetic ministry that is going to unlock people, unlock Gideons like never before. You guys receive it? If you receive it, say, "I receive it." I'll never be the same again.